If you find this podcast, this is for you. Our lives are written in ink. There are no backspaces, cancels, or delete buttons. But beauty and redemption emerge when we embrace our ink-stained imperfections and share them with one another. This is how we find our strength. This is how we renew our resolve. This is how we overcome. You're listening to the Inkfully Podcast, and I'm your host, Tanya Woods. All right, you guys, it's your girl, Tanya. Welcome to the Inkfully Podcast. I'm about to jump right into it today. This episode is going to be a little bit different. It's just going to be me and you. My voice to your ears. And I've been stirred and shook all week with this word and this message that God has been imparting into my heart. And I want to share it with you today. So I hope y'all are ready. Bear with me because I'm just coming to you raw. No editing, no filters. I'm just going to speak to you from what's on my heart. And I hope that it resonates with you. And I hope you have some really good takeaways and insight. But first things first, I want to let you guys know that this summer is going to be really special. Hello, June. We're 6 months into the year. How crazy is that? We're halfway through the year. And I know that can come with a lot of like anxiety, or can come with, you know, that feeling of, oh my God, how are we 6 months into the year? This is insane. Where am I at with my goals? Where am I at with the goals and resolutions or whatever it is that you set out in January 1. And so I feel like it's really important to me that we spend this summer having conversations around, are you ready for it? How to cultivate a healthy relationship with yourself and with others. And then we're going to tap into identity as well. And I think, again, healthy relationship and identity go hand in hand. They're kind of like cousins or sisters. So we're going to interchange them. It's going to be so enriching. So you definitely want to stay around this summer. Okay, now that that is out the way, let's get into today's show. I am stirred. Like I said, I'm shook. The spirit will not shut up about this message I have for you today. And that is the process of becoming. Okay, so first things first, there's a bit of a disclaimer. You do need to know that I'm not an expert. I mean, don't mean to point out the obvious, but I am not an expert. I'm here to share with you out of my narrow 30-something life lens what nuggets and wisdoms and lessons I have gathered and learned around my journey thus far. But the reason why I say this is because I genuinely always thought that you were not allowed to speak until you became. I know, it's crazy, but I literally thought that until you somehow arrived, quote unquote, at this person or persona that you pictured in your head, you couldn't speak. But the survey says, hashtag, it's a lie. So I'm sharing these words of wisdom with you today from my heart to your ears. So there is a chasm that I've noticed that often exists between who we are and who we want to be. And oftentimes we fall short of loving the former. But you know, you need to know that you are worthy of love today. You are enough today. And it's in this process of learning to fully love who we are right now, who we are today, that we actually become the person we envision ourselves to be. So I'm here to kind of talk about this concept of giving yourself permission to become. You know, when I started thinking about it, I was like, why is it that becoming can be so distressing for us? And I think it's because we don't want to wrestle with our deepest insecurities and our weaknesses. We don't want to become, we want to be. You know, we want to be a doctor. We want to be an influencer. We want to be an author, be a millionaire. You know what I mean? We want to be without having to journey through the actual becoming part. It's easy to feel like you're not enough, you're unsure, you're anxious, and you're in this hurry to figure it out. It often feels like we're racing against this clock. And, you know, society doesn't make it any easier with its messaging of microwave success or hurry up and do it already because everyone around you is already doing it. But becoming is a marathon and not a sprint. So we really have to learn to lean into it and trust God in our process of becoming. So there's a little spoiler alert, sis. There is only one way, and that's through. We can't go over the process. We can't go under it. We can't go around it. And you know what? The more that we try to do it that way, we prolong our process more than it needs to be. And so instead, we need to learn to lean into the discomfort and do the work of acknowledging where we are, what pain we're still carrying, what cycles in our life that we're still repeating, and what subconscious conversations we're having with ourselves on a daily basis. We have to be able to do the work of becoming so we can emerge on the other side refined as solid gold, baby. So don't despise those seasons of refinement, friends. Pinky promised me that you won't despise them, okay? Okay, good. All right. I hear you. You hear me? All right, good. You know this is a one-sided conversation right now, right? So I need to know that you hear me when I say things, okay? Clap back at your radio, put your ears in, and let me know that this is resonating, all right? So often we find ourselves beating ourselves up when it comes to our process of becoming, right? And we allow this cloud of shame to settle upon us because we're not where we want to be or we're not who we want to be by now. You know, it's whether it's our career or our character, we are kind of beating ourselves up for not being there yet. And I call this the lie of shouldn't I? You know, it's shouldn't I know what I want to be in life by now? Shouldn't I be married by now? Shouldn't I be over this character struggle, this anger, this addiction, this depression by now? We do it in the mirror, we do it on our birthdays, and we allow this shouldn't I to define us. We beat ourselves up, but what we really need to do is shift our perspectives and see the beauty in our becoming. It truly, truly is beautiful. Think about this for a second. God is literally sculpting and shaping you and molding you like clay. Some pieces have to get stripped away. Some things need to be added on. And some parts of you need to get completely scrapped altogether, let's be honest. You know, we have these scrappy seasons and we might have to start over, but that doesn't invalidate us and it doesn't take away from our value. We are still valuable and we are still taking shape. The beauty of you is still being molded out of your brokenness. God showed me that image and I just thought, how sweet of it. Is it to picture our journey and our process of becoming like that, that we're taking shape, that we're being molded. In this, he showed me that we can actually be grateful and we can find joy even in the things that we don't have together yet. Imagine how your perspective would shift and what freedom you would find if only you viewed yourself with such grace. So think about that and make sure you're giving yourself grace, patience, and permission to become. Another thing that I really want to talk about that I often struggle with is celebrating even the seemingly small wins along this journey, along this process of becoming as I've so labeled it. You know, we discount our small wins because maybe we're ashamed of celebrating our growth. I don't know why. I know I can't be the only one that does it. But, you know, I'll give you an example. So recently, my husband actually had to, you know, sadly go to a funeral in another state in New Orleans. And on that same weekend, I had another event to attend at the same time. And so, you know, we both were kind of trying to figure out how we're going to divide, you know, we have children. So how we're going to divide our responsibilities, our time and space. And so what ended up happening in the long, you know, to make a long story short, is that he went solo to New Orleans. And so, you know, here I am at home wondering, pretty much thinking, you know, counting myself out of not going to this event that I had to attend. It was a bachelorette party for my sister-in-law in Florida, which was about a 5.5-hour drive away. And then it dawned on me, Tanya, you can take your kids, get them ready, put them in that minivan, girl, and get them down to Florida. Like, you can do it. You have the capacity. And I felt really insecure with my ability to kind of navigate certain things in my marriage that I haven't had to do, to be honest with you, on my own for a long time. I mean, I remember in college, I used to just jump in a car. I lived about 4.5 hours away from my University of Florida. So I literally would like jump in a car, go home, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. But here I am as a 32-year-old adult woman, literally having like kind of an anxiety meltdown, and not meltdown, that's kind of overstating it, but just this moment of insecurity and anxiety as I thought about taking this road trip for 5 hours, you know, down to Florida, you know, now as an adult with my children. I don't know, maybe I'm thinking more, you know, you don't really think when you're young about the risk and everything. You're just kind of like, you know, YOLO and all that. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I have my kids. I'm like, can I make it down here alone? I had all these built up insecurities and, you know, but I kind of like sat with that. Like, why am I feeling so afraid? Why am I feeling so, you know, anxious about this? And, you know, I kind of just overcame that. Like I pushed through it, powered through it, gave myself the mental talk that I needed to say, hey girl, you got this. Like I said, put your kids in that car and go, you can do this. You got it. Right. And so I go down there, we drive, we have an amazing drive down with my little clan of three without dad on the, you know, in the driver's seat. And we got to Florida and we came back home and we drove back in 24 hours after the event, you know what I mean? And boom, we did that thing. And for a moment, let me tell you guys, I was actually gonna like not even bring that up in my own subconscious of like a moment worth celebrating, you know, because I guess I was kind of embarrassed, you know, I was kind of embarrassed that like, I mean, what is this to celebrate? It's not that big of a deal. You drove 5 hours, whoop-de-flip. But that is the voice of the enemy literally trying to steal this moment where I pushed past my insecurity. I pushed past my fear. I pushed past my anxiety. Even as I was driving the car for the first 30 minutes to an hour, all of the rising emotions that I felt, I literally pushed myself past them. And I was like, this is a win. Like you have to stop and recognize when your process of becoming is evolving and when to say, hey, I need to stop and celebrate this moment of personal growth in my life. So that's an example to you of why we need to do that for ourselves. And it doesn't have to be big things. As I speak back to you now, it doesn't have to be big things. You know, what was one thing that you did today that no matter how small was worth celebrating? You know, on my roughest days, it looks like I showered today. I got out the bed for a moment. You know, I've been really transparent with you guys about my struggles with, you know, depression. And literally a win would be I got out of the bed and I took a shower. I might have gotten right back in the bed. But to me, that was a win and it's worth celebrating instead of allowing shame to be the voice, allowing the voice of shame to permeate my subconscious instead. So take that into account. Celebrate your wins. Maybe you said no to something that you could, so that you can say yes to yourself. Maybe you talked yourself off the ledge of self-hate or self-deprecation. Maybe you held your tongue when you could have went off on somebody in the workplace. Celebrate it. It's worth mentioning that you're growing, you're becoming, you're evolving every single day. You want to notate that progress. Maybe you have a journal, maybe you have a friend, whoever it is, make sure you notate that progress and say it out loud because it's so easy to get lost. Hear my point right here. It's so easy to get lost in what needs to be worked out in our lives that we literally miss the growth work that God is doing at the same exact time. Okay. So, as we're still talking about this process of becoming, of course, I'm going to keep saying it. You want to make sure you're being conscious of what you're consuming. Okay. You become what you consume. Be mindful of this. Be mindful of how much you're consuming because overconsumption leads to comparison and comparison leads to self-hate. Let's be real. When we spend so many hours of our life scrolling away on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or these social media channels, consuming other people's goals, other people's dreams, other people's bodies, our minds literally create, hear me, a collage of ideals that we were never intended to hold ourselves next to. So without knowing it, we're storing up all these toxic messages, and then we wonder why we're looking at the girl staring back to us in the mirror with contempt. Do you hear me on that? Has that ever happened to you? I've literally spent, you know, more time than I want to admit scrolling on Instagram, and then I literally look at myself next with contempt, with almost like disgust, as because the two, it's a mismatch. You know what I mean? Like it's so toxic, but more on that later. So These messages are whispering things to us. They're whispering in our subconscious that we need to get our life together. I need to lose weight. I need to go get my master's. I need to have a baby. I need to go on vacation. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not creative enough. I'm not determined enough. And it's just so toxic, okay? So be conscious of what you're consuming. I'm not saying, you know, that you have to, you know, your convictions may or may not be to get off of these, you know, applications altogether. More on that another time. But, you know, please understand that this is what's happening and that, you know, these messages will, if you're not careful, breed contempt, they'll breed comparison, and eventually lead to self-hate. And self-hate will then in turn kill your dreams, destroy your confidence, and turn you in to the very person that you're rehearsing that you are in your subconscious, okay? So recognize this pattern and break free from it. Don't allow the toxic messages of the media to distort who you are becoming. Okay, this last part that I want to share with you guys is probably the most important part. So please hang on with me for a second. Are you still there? Good. Okay. So this past week, as I told you, I might have mentioned it earlier, it's been an emotionally stirring week and I've been in this place of deep introspection, as you guys can tell. So June 1st is the birthday of one of my closest friends in high school who passed away about 3 years ago. So June is always a very like introspective month for me, especially starting it as I think about her life. She passed at the age of 30 and, you know, it was really hard emotionally to kind of see this person who just lived with such great joy and, just love, a lover of people, a lover of her friends. You know, so obviously that's tough, right? We also had to say goodbye to a family member who passed just 2 weeks ago at the age of 50. Again, another person, another woman who lived her life with great intention, with strong faith, loving and serving people, literally giving her life to do just that, love and serve other people. So, you know, it really made me start thinking about, you know, what matters most. And ironically, also during this week, I happened to stumble across this YouTube video of a documentary put on by, I believe it's Soul Pancake, called The Last Days. And specifically, I watched the journey of a lady named Ellie. If you can look this up, Soul Pancake Ellie, it will literally transform your introspections and your thinking of what matters most. And it did that for me. And so as I think about my friend and I think about our family member who passed just a week or two ago, and I think about Ellie and the message that they all kind of cohesively like shared, which was to live your life with intention, to love well, you know, to forgive quickly, to, you know, to be hyper aware of who you're becoming. I just really was stirred with everything that I'm telling you guys right now. And what I want to tell you the most is that sometimes we get so acutely focused on the process of becoming, hear me, that we lose sight of who we actually are going to be in the end. You know, we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I actually taking steps to become who I desire to be in the end? We can get so caught up with the things that matter in a nearsighted tunnel vision type of way and forget about the long-term be, the long-term person we are becoming. You know, we can get caught up in the degrees and the accolades and how to grow our following, how to become a person of influence, you know, online MBA programs, how to, I don't know, like, you know, we're signing up for this course, we're attending this conference, we're buying these self-help books off of Amazon, we're downloading these seminars on how to be an Amazon seller, you know, just whatever someone recommends to us. There's just so many things that are, we can get distracted by so many well-intentioned pursuits and not even realize it. But at some point, we literally have to stop and ask ourselves, are the decisions that I'm making today drawing me closer to who I desire to be in the end? What do I want people to say about how I spent my time on this earth when I had breath in my lungs and youth on my side? And is that what I'm pursuing right now? Is that what I am pursuing today? Is that what my process of becoming is leading me towards? And to be honest with you, that has become like my newfound purpose. It's what I want to focus my life on doing, constantly checking in and saying, hey, am I doing the things that are shaping me into the person, and especially the character of the person that I desire to be? And you know, character building is so important, right? The inner work of us is so often missed and so overshadowed in our society because we spend so much time praising the exterior and desiring that, and we place so much desire on the outer man. Especially as millennials, to be honest with you, our attention is constantly being diverted to what can be seen by others. Society is constantly inundating us with messages of who we should be. They're literally telling us who we should be, and it's drowning out the voice of God in our lives and what He says that we are and who He desires for us to become. You know, we talk about social influence, and social influence is all about how others perceive you. And essentially, you're given a seat at the table for things that can be seen externally. No wonder we're struggling. You know what I mean? No wonder we are struggling. But I feel like, on the contrast, God wants us to focus on who we're becoming internally. Society places its emphasis on the outside, on desire of external things. But as a generation, we are losing sight of the person on the inside, of the inner work, and we need to figure out how to get back to that place. So that is what I have for you today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for giving me your time every single week. Thank you for showing up here with me in this space. I can't tell you how much it means to me. It is 3:30 in the morning, and I'm recording this for you. I hope that it is resonating. You can hit me up on Instagram and tell me what resonates. And you can also, if you're not on there, cool. I'm so about that life. Listen, email me, Tanya@inkfully.com. I would love to have a conversation with you. Let's talk. Let's hash this out. Have an amazing day. And as I always say, love well, live well, and ink fully.